Stop. Breathe. This is home. This is home.
I want to cover some territory that we've been across so that we can get to where we are today. I don't want to preach long today, and everyone said, wow. I want us to get to a place where what is on my heart to do, we can achieve that. On Friday night, we started off with looking at the book of Judges. And in Judges, we saw where God placed Israel into an environment which had conflict issues arising. And in that environment, Israel was being prepared for battle, or they were in training. How many people know that God puts you in places where you can be trained up into the field of what he wired you up with? Amen. And the point we learnt there was that God is good, and all the time. You see, whether we are going through a good circumstance or not, God is always good. And what he's doing in our circumstances will always do us good. Now, that can be a little hard to swallow, but if you know who has your back, then you will never have to be afraid that somehow this is going to overtake you. But God is preparing you and making you battle ready for a season such as a time as this. The second point that we looked at was yesterday morning, we looked at 2 Chronicles 7:14, where Solomon dedicated the temple. And in dedicating the temple, he set about to seek God's face. What would you have me to say? And we opened up the prayer of what God gave him. And the first point in that was, if my people who are called by my name. And we broke that open and looked at that, how many of us suffer from a battle in my mind, and how that battle persists and tries to discourage us from having confidence to step out and be God's people. So we learned how to overcome. We had where, if this builds me up, well, that's a characteristic of God. If this tears me down, then that only reflects the purpose of the enemy, which John 10:10 says, he comes to seek, to destroy, to rob, to kill. So when a thought enters your mind, if it pulls you down, its source is evil. And we need to then declare access denied. Amen. If you will fight this fight here, you'll be amazed how much you will feel built, strengthened, because you know that God is good. And because he is good all the time, he will never let us be overtaken. We will overcome him. The Christian walk is not a cruise. The Christian walk is a fight. And we fight not against flesh and blood, but spiritual principalities and powers in heavenly places. I am convinced that if the church will deny access, the church will grow the character that reflects the sincerity, the genuineness of God's heart, and it will manifest it in action in the community for Jesus' sake. Wow. We went on that if my people who are called by my name will humble, and the word humble meaning to become sober, not to be distracted, soldier on duty lets his guard down. He holds a alertness, a readiness, a soberness of the potential of danger. And Peter shared incredibly well about the statistical information of where our world is at right now and the need for us to be sober as sons and daughters of God to make a difference in this community for Jesus' sake. We then went on from being sober to prayer. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Prayer is one of the most powerful weapons that you have in your hand. And I want to tell you a story today about the power of prayer. But in that power of prayer comes an amazing divine intervention into a young man's life. I've titled my message this morning, "This is next. What's next?" What's next is we are. It's coming. We are representing, or we are representing God wherever we go. I want us to be shining lights that attract the people who are struggling with, like a light would to a moth or to an insect. It would attract people to us. That literally happens. I have built such a relationship with my motorsport family that if someone's going through a tough time, they will come alongside me and they will dob on their friend. "Chappie, catch up with so-and-so. They're doing it really tough at the moment." I want to be known as one who is like the salt of the earth, who when somebody is going through times of crisis, that their mates know who to turn to. Who is the salt of the earth? Who has what it takes to get the job done? And the ministry in the marketplace, when you establish credibility, you will find people will come to you and they'll begin to dob on their friends, or they'll begin to talk to you about where they are at. I want to be the salt of the earth, don't you? I want us as a church to be where this community looks into this building and says, "The people who go there, I don't know what it is about them, but somehow when they open their mouth and they speak, they've got something valuable to say. When they extend their heart as a church around an issue in our community, they make things happen. When they come out and do an event, there's such an excellence in what they do. You've got to take your hat off to them and say, they are a church in the community that we need them to be here." That's the church that God is building here in Port Sorrel and in Ulverston. I nearly didn't get it right. I'm glad you jumped in there quick. I want us to represent Jesus to a hurting community. I want us to represent his love and his mercy and his grace. Because without that, people's lives are being shipwrecked. And I've done some statistical research on suicide up in this northwest corridor of Tasmania. And it's way too high. There's a thief in this community telling people it's hopeless, it's useless, they might as well end their life. I want us to be at the door of hopelessness saying, don't go this way. We can help you. We will help you. And I'm calling us as a church family to stand at that door and to begin to declare that there is a hope. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 13 says, these three things remain: faith, hope, love. And the greatest of these is love. So whatever we do as a community, through the greatness of love, it brings hope to a hopeless situation. And that's what God has us in our training place that we looked at in Judges, preparing us to be battle ready. Amen. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 18 says this, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Whatever your circumstances today, please let us not be murmuring about. Let's not do what Israel did in the wilderness and continue to grizzle. But let us be those who declare, my God is on the throne. He's got my back. I am in a safe place. I've never been in safer hands. And I will shout out his praise. I will sing his praise. I love that song that goes, I breathe in your grace and I breathe out your praise. Have you heard that song? How does it go, BJ? I didn't quote that one too well. Is that right? I did it right? I'm breathing in your praise. I'm sorry, I'm breathing in your grace. God's amazing grace overwhelms our circumstances, and I breathe out, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Practice it. Try this. Close your eyes for a moment. Lift your hands towards heaven. And just right now, take in a breath, and in that breath, know that God pours abundance into us at all times, every moment, every day. And in your circumstance right now, he gives you the grace to be able to go through whatever your situation is, because his grace is sufficient for us. Breathe it in. And as you breathe out, say, thank you, God, you've got my back. Thank you, God, you're on the throne. Then breathe in. Oh, God, more of your grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And as you breathe out, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I love you and I praise you. There's another verse or another translation that says it this way. It says, thank God no matter what happens, this is what God wants you who belong to Christ. This is how to live. Amen. Look at this. In Romans 8 and verse 28, it says that God will cause all things to work together for good. Tell me, church, is God on the throne? Is God King of kings and Lord of lords? Is God the one who is working throughout this community to turn the heart of this community towards his health, towards himself? The answer is yes. This was said by a bloke named Paul Mainwaring. He says, I will not reduce the revelation of God's goodness on the altar of human reasoning to give myself an answer to a question I cannot possibly answer. Wow. Look at this. If it is not happy people who are thankful, it is thankful people who are happy. If you want to change where you're at right now, begin to breathe in grace. Begin to breathe out thanks. It's the fact that God is in charge. It's the fact that he is king. It's the fact that he is Lord. It changes my circumstances, and I know that he will work this to good. Amen. I want to tell you this story. This is about a young fella. His name is Robbie Gordon. Let's go forward, buddy. Robbie is a speed car driver. Whoops, there we are. He's a speed car driver. He races, it's called a speed car, nicknamed Midgets, Midget Racing. They're a 2 litre, just go, Normally aspirated engine, produces in the vicinity of around about 450 horsepower. This thing will do a lap of the Latrobe Speedway just down here in around about 12.5 seconds. Down the straight, they'll be doing in excess of 120, 130 kilometers per hour. They'll slide it and steer it through the slide into a corner, and they'll come out through the corners doing around about the 100 and 105 kilometers per hour, and they'll do a whole lap in just over 12 seconds. I like that. Ha, ha, ha. People say, why? Because we can. Because it's an incredible adrenaline rush when you can flash down the side of a wall and be this far from it at breakneck speed and then throw it into a corner and come out the other side and go, wow, yeah. Now, I've always been like that. I shared that with you yesterday. I frighten the living darts out of Barbie all the time. But what, it's the way I'm wired up. Robbie is wired up the same way. Robbie was racing at Warrnambool Raceway on the 2nd of January 2015. He came through turn three into turn four. On that racetrack, they're doing closer to 160 or 170 down the straights and doing 120 to 130 through the corners. As he's coming out of turn four, he's got the pedal down, full noise, and he's got this thing, and he's got a competitor in front of him. He can either go low side of him or high side of him. He chooses to go high side, but as he's going high side, the competitor in front began to wash up towards him, and he ended up coming on him at high speed. And because these are open-wheel vehicles, if you can imagine the revolution of the rear wheel, and then you have a front wheel come up behind it, hitting it, it immediately spits the front of the car straight up into the air. Robbie's car shot up in the air. It went up towards the top of the fence, hit the fence, spun around, reverse flipped back, and the back of the car has dived into the mud on the track and stopped dead from around about 80, 90 kilometers per hour. Bang, straight in. The drivetrain goes down through your legs from the engine to the differential. And part of the slamming of the car back into, not only was there all this compression put into the stopping of the car into his back, but also the drivetrain came up and hit him from underneath as well. So you had this double compression thing happen. The race was immediately red flagged. In other words, everyone stops. Took us an hour and a half to extricate Robbie from the car. He was out cold initially. And the issue with that is that the patient can't tell you what hurts. So you can't just try and manipulate them or wrestle them out of the car. We end up cutting the top of the roll cage off. We had a crane come and lift the front of the car up so that Robbie was now leaning on his back. We were able to slip in a full backboard and slide Robbie out onto the black onto the backboard and then strap him down. His vital signs were blinking from just alive to stopping. We defibbed him a couple of times, just getting him out of the car. We finally got him into an ambulance, which went across to the football oval where an emergency helicopter had come in to airlift him to Melbourne. Robbie got into the chopper and twice died on the chopper going back to Melbourne. Landed at the Alfred Hospital. First assessment was, this guy is as good as dead. He won't have any capacity whatsoever. They took CT scans, and the CT scans showed a broken neck, C2, C3, C4, C5. T2, T3, T4, all smashed. They called him a quadriplegic right from the start. They said he would never, never survive. I got back from Warrnambool, went straight to see Robbie. What does a Christian do when they walk into a scene like this? They pray. There's not one person on the planet that would say, don't you pray. Because at the moment, the situation is so hopeless that anything that sounds like it's got a whisper of hope, please do it. And so I laid hands on Robbie together with his mum and dad, his brother Brad, his partner Natalie. We prayed, God, we're not willing to let this happen without a fight. God, do a miracle. Robbie survived the first night. If you survive the first night, they say you've got to do intervention then regarding the damaged spinal column. So he went straight into an 11-hour operation in which they put 39 pins and 2 rods into Robbie's neck. And while they're putting it in, they're saying he's not likely to survive this operation. Robbie survived the operation. I went in to see him in the intensive care. And there we joined hands again and continued to pray. God, prove yourself strong. Prove yourself strong. God, prove yourself strong on our behalf. Robbie came out of the, became alert quickly. They'd done a tracheotomy by putting an airway in through his throat here because he couldn't breathe on his own. The doctors came in and foretold us that he will be on a machine for the rest of his life. He will not survive. His damage to his C2 is what's called a mouth down injury, whereby nothing works from mouth down. 2 days later, Robbie started breathing on his own. The doctor said, this is not possible. But how many of us know that with God all things are possible? They said, do you really want us to keep the machine on? Wouldn't it be better to let him go? And the family said, but he's breathing on his own. The machine is able to show you what is mechanically being given to the patient and what the patient is doing on their own. And they said, no, let's wait and see, as any family would. Another day went past. They switched the machine off because Robbie was breathing on his own. We continued to come in every day and pray, God, prove yourself strong. We were continually being encouraged to close the door, to end the chapter. But with what we were seeing, hope was building inside the heart of the family. Robbie continued to improve faster than they had any expectation to. Instead of his heart being prompted and supported by machines, they detached that. So everything from the mouth down that was supposed to not work is starting to work. Robbie starts to move. One finger. It's more like a twitch reaction, but it's encouraging. The family, when we prayed, were holding hands. And I was teaching them to, when we pray, Matthew 21, verse 22, when you pray, believe that you receive it. When do you receive it? When you pray, believe that you receive it, and you will have what it is you ask. And so the family, dear dad, like any dad would, God, I don't know you, but please, thank you for what we're seeing. Don't let my boy die. Wow. 3 months. And Robbie goes to rehab at Royal Talbot Hospital. Here's Robbie with a get well sign, Robbie Gordon. All the signatures and messages, we put it all on a board. We put it on the roof above his bed. So when he's laying back there, he can't lift his head. When he's laying there, he looks forward and he reads the words of encouragement that are put upon that from all his motorsport family. Robbie's health is improving. Not only has he got movement in his hand now, his left leg has started to improve. And so they get him one of those things that you put in the bed that you can treadle, like a cycle thing, and he's starting to treadle, starting to use this thing. Robbie's health continued to improve. 8 months. Doctors said, we can't do anything more for you here, Robbie. We're planning on sending you home. Wow. So they sent Robbie home. We got the house all set up according to how it was needed for him. But this is rather amazing. Robbie made his girl Natalie a promise. I will dance with you on your birthday, August 2016. He kept that promise. Robbie danced with his girl. I spoke to Robbie. Robbie, would you come to church? Thank people who've been praying for you. And he said, I'd love to. Robbie came to church with us 2 years after the incident on the 1st of January this year, and he stood before the church on his walking stick. He had, on the day before he came to church, walked with his girl 900 meters down to the cafe, had a cup of coffee with her, and he walked 900 meters home, got halfway home and said, babe, bit pooped, better give me my walking stick. And then he got into the walking stick and walked the last half a kilometer home. I want to tell you that there's a community that needs a church to stand up and declare, with God all things are possible. To stand that door of hopelessness and declare, no, we're not going to surrender. We're going to fight, we're going to fight, we're going to fight. Everything in your head says, it doesn't seem good. I can't see the point. It feels hopeless. That's where we say, request denied. We're going to hold on to the fact that our God is able, because somebody in this community needs to see that our God is a miracle-working God. When Robbie came to church, his mum, his dad, his brother and his wife, his stepbrother and his wife, and two others from the motorsport family all came as we gave thanks to God for Robbie Gordon. The last photograph here is Nat sitting on Robbie's leg. He was told nothing will work at all. He'll have no control over his bowel, no control over his body functions. Natalie will be giving birth to a baby the end of next month. I believe in a miracle-working God. And this testimony is not finished yet. Robbie has been working on building a pergola out the back of his house. He's got 60% use of his left arm. He's got 80% use of his left leg. He's got 25% use of his right leg and nothing yet in his right arm. And we've got pictures of Robbie sanding this portico, this gazebo that he's building. He's going to help me as chaplain. We're starting a program which takes at-risk youth. We're going to teach them carpentry, welding, mechanics, panel beading, spray painting, fabrication. We're going to build race cars, and Robbie's going to be the inspirational story to say to these kids, it might seem hopeless, but there's hope. Robbie's going to be a part of that program with us. How many people here can see that God wants his people to stand and declare and proclaim his goodness and mercy in this community? Scriptures say, Philippians 4 verses 5 and 6, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice, let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Verse 6, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. We looked at yesterday Solomon dedicating the temple. With the dedication of the temple, Solomon sought God what to say. I don't find it at all surprising that we're positioned so well today, because we're going to have a temple dedicating service here right now, where we dedicate this temple. Solomon dedicated a place where God could dwell. We're going to dedicate a place, God, where you can dwell. I lecture in schools on issues to do with alcohol and drugs. I say to the kids as I'm completing the program, I say, hey, listen, how many of you guys agree with that it's not good to bully others? Everyone puts their hands up. In the same way, I could say to you, everyone here that agrees with me that God wants to do something in our community, raise your hand. And everyone will join me in that. But I say to the kids, it's not enough for you just to say, I agree with that. You need to buy into that. And the way you buy into that is by then saying, well, I'm going to walk around as an encourager. I'm going to encourage people. And it's one thing for us to say, yes, we agree, God, we need to be your hand in this community. But that's not a buy-in. A buy-in is when we say, God, here I am. Send me. Solomon was the leader of the house. Pastor Peter is the leader of the house here. And I've asked him to come and lead this. But in coming and leading this, I'm not stepping back. I want to pray for people that what God you've given me, what you've given me, let it be given to others also. Because I want to hear what God is doing here in this northwest of Tassie. Because we've chosen over this home weekend to dedicate ourselves to the glory, to the healing of our land. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then they will hear from heaven. I will forgive sin. I will heal. God, heal our land. I will heal. I will heal their land. Thank you.